Welcome back to the other 167. I'm Garrett Lill, and this is your intro for this week. I'm not going back and re-record it. I was just telling Ben here, you know what? You bring out my redneck. I didn't know it.
Yes.
But when I went back and listened to the final thing last week, you got about 30 seconds of me talking very professional. I was back in my work voice. Welcome to the 167. I'm Garrett Lill, and then we get to talking, and we say things like, get to talking.
Yes. Yes.
So this week, we're just going to roll right into it. I've enjoyed this last week. I mean, we were just talking about it just now. It's been a really cool week to hear from people who've listened to what, you know, last week. I didn't know if anybody would. But I've really enjoyed the journey God's taken me on in this little run, too. He sort of took my – he wanted that 167 for me a little bit, and I was just telling you, I kind of wish I'd done the math a little better. I didn't account for sleep. I thought he understood it was a marketing thing. But we're here again. Didn't rip the universe apart, so let's try one more time, I guess. But
sounds good. Sounds good.
So we talked, I texted you yesterday and I said, you know what, I said we're going to be unscripted, but I think I got a script.
There you go.
Or it's at least
well,
a blueprint.
At least we know where we're headed. How about that?
Yeah. But, you know, we ended up last week talking on, maybe next week we'll pick up on Hebrews 12, and we talked a lot about fear, worry, guilt, and hearing from God and learning what God's voice sounds like. And I thought, you know, reading Hebrews 12, you gave me the notes for the test. I thought, I'll study. I got a week and it's only a chapter. So I started reading it. I thought, we really probably need to go back to some fundamentals first, I think, because we heard a lot about hearing from God, but we need to talk about how do we talk to God, how do we seek God, how do we find Him. So wanted to spend a little bit of time on that, and I told you, hey, if we can nail down how to pray, how to read the Bible, and how to hear from God, you've got a good head start on some stuff from there. We can go deep on a lot of things.
Well, I think it's important to remember that God speaks to us in various ways. Of course, one of the best ways is through His Word. I mean, you can know anything that you think you're hearing from God. You should be able to go back and line up with, okay, that matches what the Scripture says. So He speaks to us definitely through the Word. He speaks to us through prayer as we pray and seek Him, as we listen to Him. And I always remind people, listen, when you pray, you are not the most important person talking. He's talking to us, and oftentimes we tend to think of prayer as, okay, God, here's my wish list, make it happen. Well, that's the last time I checked, that's not it. Prayer is us seeking Him, and let's face facts, He's God. He already knows what we need. He already knows our hurts. He knows our what we're struggling with. I think oftentimes prayer is a tool for me to recognize just how much I depend upon Him. Because we can all put it on autopilot, and we can all put it on, oh, I can handle this. Well, I don't, in my life, I don't really want that, because I know that, okay, I can get up there and lead a Bible study in my own strength because, okay, I've been trained and I've studied. But no, I want it to be, Lord, this is, what do you need to say to these people? And what is it that, you know, surrendering yourself to that. So oftentimes prayer is recognizing, man, I am so dependent upon you, and calling out to Him. And so He speaks to us through the Word, through prayer. I think sometimes He speaks to us through the church. It might be brothers and sisters in Christ who, hey, man, I recognize this. Or somebody who comes along and says, hey, on your podcast, if you do this, this, and this, man, who knows what might happen. But He speaks to us through other folks, but in circumstances too. Sometimes life happens this way, and it's almost as if God introduces us or takes us to a different path we hadn't thought about. But it always is through His Holy Spirit. And I think that's the key to understand that when you're saved, Holy Spirit now lives in you. Now, how do I tune into that?
Yeah, and one of the things that I experienced this a lot this week, and just because I did spend more time reading the Bible than I ever had, and that I think I said on the show last week, I don't really know why God does things sometimes, and sometimes I never know. He didn't waste very long telling me this time why I did it, or why He had me do this. It's like, it's actually worked out pretty cool. But as you do it, it's just communicating with God, right? It's just it's learning the language, right? If I've never really prayed before, and I say, okay, somebody tells me you need to listen for God's voice.
Right. Yeah,
I don't know what that sounds like. I don't know anything about it. Going to Him in prayer, I think, is, okay, taking the Bible, reading the Bible, and prayer. I've always been, if I was going to rank the two, I'm better at prayer. I'm not good at reading the Bible, neither in taking the time to actually do it.
Right.
Or when I do it itself. It's not, it's a chore. It's a homework assignment. I need to read it, and I need to get through this stuff. But when I pray, it's always come more naturally to me. I want to talk a little bit about how you pray. I thought about something. I was when the idea was posed to me, how you need to talk about prayer, I thought, you know, I don't really know if I, well, actually, this wasn't even somebody bringing it up to me. I was thinking, do we want to say a prayer on the podcast? I mean, I think we should, because I don't really know if I mean, if I'm going to be talking about God and people going to hear it, we're going to need to get this blessed.
We need to be praying up before we get here. That's right.
But it felt uncomfortable to, because I thought, I don't think I pray weird. And then I started thinking about that, and I thought, how do I know I pray weird? I don't know how anybody else prays, technically, not in their head.
Right.
I hear how you pray at church.
You pray, yeah, when we pray out loud.
I don't know how you pray in your head.
Right.
Most people probably pray out loud similar to what they do in their head, but it's probably not exactly the same.
It can range. I mean, I'll be honest with you. A lot of times in my personal prayer life, not in front of the church or anything else, man, I spend quite a bit of time just being still, being silent. I almost want to use the word meditate, but it's not meditating in the sense of Far East yoga. No, when a Christian meditates, it's more of filling your mind with the scripture and thinking on that. You mentioned Philippians 4. We've been talking a little bit about Philippians 4, and it's one of when a Christian meditates, it's like a cow chewing its cud. Chew on what it means that, okay, don't worry about anything. Ooh, gosh, oh, Lord, does that mean I can trust you in every situation? And try to think about that, and then turning that around to a prayer of, Lord, help me to realize you can be trusted in everything. And then turning that into worship. So there's so many models that are out there for prayer. I mean, of course, Jesus gives us the ultimate model in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, with the Lord's Prayer, which is a beautiful way. And listen, I've done a 13-week study on 168 words. So, I mean, you can really go into all kinds of different, you know, the way that this prayer is, and even the way he starts it out, Our Father, which art in heaven. I always like to start out with worship. Okay. It's not a immediately go in there, okay, God, here's this. No, I want to focus on who he is. And what I've noticed for me is when I focus on who he is, the things I thought were so important and dire, they tend to kind of, it's kind of like, okay, when I know I got big problems, but I take them to my bigger God, yeah, these problems aren't as big as they were. Yeah. So I always want to start there. So I think that's one of the key lessons, is to always start on focusing on him. As I said, you're not the most important person in the room when you're praying or talking. So start there. And what I recommend to people is find a psalm. David was a man after God's own heart. And so if you find a psalm that he wrote that's having to do with worship, man, just read that to the Lord.
Yeah.
Describe to him his greatness, and describe or think about his loving kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness goes from generation to generation. And just begin to think about, okay, what is the writer saying there, and just how good and how great is he? And so that's really, I mean, to me, prayer is a part, worship is a big part of prayer for me, is that I want to spend time just praising the Lord and worshiping him, ascribing, that's a big old fancy word, but just basically recognizing who he is.
So that's one of the really fun parts of this podcast, is sometimes I get to find out in real time that I'm wrong about something.
No, you're not wrong.
No.
Yeah, here's ways to do it.
So here's the point, where I'm going with that is that I'm getting better at this, better at this. But I realized this thing about prayer a little bit this week, and I thought, my nighttime prayer is not a very good prayer.
Right.
Me and my mom were talking about this the other day, and I said, I don't know how we got on prayer, but I said, if I'm doing it right, my nighttime prayer is basically not love you, amen. Like, it's not much.
Yeah,
I've been talking to him all day long.
Right.
Think about it. When I have my kids for a weekend or something, or a long period of time, and then they go to their mom's at 6 o'clock that night, when they text me, they ain't got much to say at night. Good night, love you. I don't even know how their day was. I was
spent
with them. Right.
Yeah.
If I haven't seen them that day, then we might chat a little bit longer, you know. But if I've been talking to God throughout the day, what else do I have to say at night except good night, I love you, amen? But see, for the longest time, my prayer life was this. Hopefully 4, 5, 6 nights a week, right before bedtime, I got about 10 minutes. I'll try to stay awake and get it in before it's over.
Yeah.
And in that case is when this is the worst intro ever. You say that we want to start in worship. Okay, well, let me tell you my intro. Out of a habit, I've realized this over time, I start my prayers subconsciously at night. When I go to bed and say my prayers, it starts the same way, and it probably has for 15 years. Dear Lord, please forgive me for.
Right.
And then I go on.
And
then when I get done with that, I'll go back to the thank yous. And it's not even on purpose. It's just that's what I, what I do. But in my day-to-day, in my prayer life during the day, that other 167, and I think when I suggested that name or whatever, it was, that's where it kind of comes from, is because if I pray throughout the day, 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever, I said a very short prayer on the way across the parking lot here, because I dropped my phone for second time since I got it 5-6 days ago. But for the second time, it didn't land on the brand new face, and I don't have to go spend $150 to replace it.
Right.
And I said, man, God, thank you. That was two in a row this week you saved me.
And he's saying, go buy a cake.
Yes.
Now, but listen, what you're saying, listen, you're right on track. Because listen to this. Think about it. Paul says, pray without ceasing. That means we're in constant communication with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's number one. But number two is, going along that same lines of, you mentioned confession. Well, that's the second step of praying. If you're first, you start with adoration and praise. The second is confession, and it makes sense. Once I focus upon the majesty, the holiness, the awesomeness of God, then I'm going to realize, man, Lord, how am I even in your presence as a sinner? And the more that I focus on the holiness of God, the more I see my own sin. And even sins that, okay, maybe I hadn't even thought about, because the Lord will bring, the Holy Spirit will bring those sins that maybe you haven't taken to him and maybe we haven't dealt with. So, yeah, start with adoration. And as you focus on just how, it's kind of like when you see something that's perfect, then you see something beside it and you're like, oh, I thought this was big, but then this is mammoth, you know, that kind of thing. Then you begin to see your own sin and confessing it, knowing that, hey, man, God, you are a gracious God. And through the blood of Christ that was shed for me, my sins are forgiven. And Lord, because of your awesomeness, I don't want to walk in that stuff. So it's a repentance as well as a confession.
Yeah.
So you got the worship, then you got the confession, and spend time there. And just saying, you know, and again, this is not a browbeaten, man, I'm just going, I'm no good, I'm this, that, and the other. Although at the same time, it is a recognizing that in my flesh, yeah, I don't have much to bring to the table. But in Christ, man, now we're ready. And now, Lord, you've made me your child.
Yeah.
And so it plays in from focusing on God to now, wow, that causes me to see my downfalls, my shortcomings, but God, you still love me and you forgive me. And so therefore, confession is a big piece of that.
Yeah.
And again, this is not one size fits all. You got to do this every time. This is just a typical model that can help. Especially, I think I was taught this model when I was 8 years old, and it has made a big difference in my life, even at 8 years old, that, okay, I want to start with who he is, then move into the other. But there's no right or wrong. I mean, when you look at the scriptures, Nehemiah is about to go before the king, and he basically says this, God help me before this king. But he had been praying for months before that, but there was that one last. So there are times when it's going to be that, oh, Lord, you know, help me get through this. Or, Lord, I'm about to meet with someone. Can you help me? God hears those. And I think it's cool that we have an awesome God that nothing is too big for him, but nothing's too small either. And to know that he cares about our hurts, our struggles, those kind of things. And that's where I have to remind myself is, you know, this God that we read about in the scriptures and this God that created us and formed us, he also wants to know you know, the small things, you know, and it's okay to take them to him. Now, if he's a human, yeah, I know I better not, you know, I have people all the time, and I know you're busy, Ben, so I don't even want to talk to you about this little small problem. Well, God's not like that. He can handle all of it, you know.
And it's interesting when you think about it and things like that. I mean, you can start to appreciate the small little gifts that God gives you every day when you start to realize when you start to realize the amount of detail that he puts into it. He didn't need to save my cell phone 30 minutes ago. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a tiny little thing there. So if I need to go to God with a small problem, well, nothing's too small for him. It might be that tiny little thing that makes a difference, and that might have been that straw that broke the camel's back or not or whatever.
Sure.
But he does know nothing's too big, nothing's too small. It's a good way of putting it that I hadn't maybe even necessarily thought about that much. It's easy to take the big problems to him, but you feel bad taking the small ones.
Oh, yeah. That's what, he's a big guy, and so I'm going to take the big stuff.
But think about this. The smaller the types of problems you'll take to God, doesn't that mean you'll be talking to God a whole lot more often?
I think it's you'll be talking to God more often, which is a plus. But I think it's also, again, go back to that word dependence. Because if I recognize, you know what, and I think we fool ourselves into thinking, okay, I'm on autopilot, I can handle this or these problems. Can you really? I mean, I think that's one of those things of, because as you said last week and as I've said before, man, leave it to me and I'll mess it up. And I think it's one of when we recognize just how much we are dependent upon Him. Take the problems out of it. Think about just in the natural world, the way He designed it, that the air that we breathe and the water that we drink. I mean, all that how He created the world and all that we have. I mean, it all comes from Him. And so I'm dependent upon Him for each and everything. And when we recognize that, now we can begin to understand Philippians 4, 6. Okay, so if He's taking care of those kind of details, now maybe I can trust Him even in the big, small, whatever detail I'm facing.
Yeah,
I'll share an instance. Last night I was doing premarital counseling with a young couple, and I asked them, "How did you meet?" And it was neat how God had orchestrated. And no, there would be no way on God's green earth they should have met, other than God had him in Virginia at a certain time with a certain. I mean, it was just amazing. I was sitting there just mouth agape, and I told him, I said, "Well, listen, you got to stop and think about this. If God went that kind of detail to bring you together, I think he's meant for this to be," you know, and when you have that in the back of your mind of, and I think that's a key point for Christians is being able to see if he provided for me in my past and he's promised my future, then maybe in my present, I can walk in those truths of knowing he never let me down in the past. And I know what he told me he's going to do in the future. So if that's the case, then the present, I should be able to at least trust him a little bit.
I thought of an analogy. You talk and I think of analogies. I think that's what we do. I think that's what the show is.
It's easy to understand.
I know some people that even if they're going somewhere that they know where it's at, they still use their navigation. Right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, I had something really, really funny happen to me one time, and the situation wasn't funny, but I thought about God in it, and it became amusing. I'm going to my mom and dad. About 2 hours away. I'd go about every 2, 3, 4 weeks. Have been doing it since 2004.
Yeah. Driving backwards.
Yeah.
Which
I ride up there. I never plug in my GPS. And I get up there one day and I get to Winston-Salem about 30 minutes away and I hit a traffic jam that leaves me there for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm too far away from the next exit to get out of it. And so I finally am like, well, let me plug in my GPS and see what the quickest route is. And it says there's not one. And it occurred to me that if I plugged that in and I left my house, I would have known about it and I'd have taken the bypass through downtown instead.
Right.
Or not taken the bypass. I'd have gone through downtown Winston instead and gotten home 30 minutes earlier. And I thought about how many times do I do that in my life with God? Mm-hmm. I got this. Right. I don't need God for this. This is a simple one.
I got this road.
Yeah. And then there might have been, it doesn't necessarily, what did it hurt me to plug in my GPS, right?
Right?
Well, I can tell you what it does. It kills my cell phone battery too fast.
That's right.
But aside from that, why wouldn't you do that? You've got a tool that can make sure you get there as efficiently as you can.
Right.
And we do that with God. We have access. But we don't use them all the time.
I like that analogy. And even in that analogy, you know, your GPS isn't all-knowing. We have a God that's all-knowing.
That's
what makes it even better.
That's what makes it so
ironic.
He
knows there's a pothole or he knows there's a wreck. I mean, that's why, and I think it is one of recognizing that. And again, I think that key word that's been for the day so far has been that dependence of, I need him. Every hour I need him. That's the old song that they used to sing. But I know that I need him on each and every little thing that's in my life.
Yeah.
And again, that surrender and that dependence, kind of, if you stop and think about it, they're almost the same coin. One's heads, one's tails.
Mm-hmm.
Surrender means, Lord, I'm giving everything, every detail of my life over. And the other side, the flip side of that coin is dependence to say, all right, Lord, so I'm depending on you in everything, and I need you. And so, therefore, Lord, and I think, too, it just like you and I have a pretty easy time talking, and because, mm-hmm. We got a good friendship, good mm-hmm. relationship. I think that relationship with the Lord, the more that you do it, and again, I understand, when you first start, it seems a little awkward, or am I saying mm-hmm. this right? I don't want to say the wrong thing. Man, just be yourself. The Lord knows who you are, so just be yourself.
That was one of the things I wanted to talk about. So, my opinion might be changing on this just slightly, and I don't think it's necessarily, I don't know yet if I'm right or wrong about this. Although it's funny, so I'm going to go ADD right here and go completely off topic. But last week, I realized that I completely looked like an idiot in a way, because I said, I posed the very debatable question, does God discipline us? And then I went and read Hebrews 12, and it's very clear. Loves. Yeah, it's there. You just got to read it. So now I'm really hesitant. I don't know if I'm going to ask any more questions that are in the book. But when we go to God, I'm sort of in this, not a struggle, but I'm learning. I'm debating something in my head. Mm-hmm. I've probably not felt like I go to God with enough reverence in my prayers. I think that I take God too lightly, maybe, or not too lightly. I just take it for granted, maybe, that He's always there. I can talk to Him anytime I want to. So my, I've always, when I was younger, and I don't think this is something that is wrong. It might be personal preference, but I also just, it doesn't quite feel right to me either right now. Just, hey, God, how you doing, man? Okay, well, yeah, that's how I talk to my buddies. God is my buddy.
Right.
But let's not lose fact that this, he earns a little bit more reverence than that. And maybe I need to come to Him with just a little bit more than just, hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah.
So I think and that goes into what you were saying in the beginning with the worship and the praise. And it's, you know, it doesn't mean that He's not still your friend. You can still you can still be really good friends with someone that you have reverence for. Yeah. Again, a parent figure. I have a really good relationship with my dad. We're buddies, but
that's right.
I have reverence for him too. There's some stuff I'm not going to say to him that I might say in other conversations.
I mean, think about how the Lord's prayer starts, and really should be the disciples' prayer. But the Lord is the one who gave it to us. But He starts out with our Father. Which that word is Abba in the Greek, which is, you can literally translate it dad, daddy. And that's a cool way to think about it. And I think, but you go back, and I think there's always been that fine balance between, as the scripture says, the Lord is in His temple, let all be silent before Him. You know, don't dare speak. Versus, I have called you friend. I'm a friend of God. I'm His child. And so there is kind of a, and maybe that's where we need to go with this thing is, you know, there are times when your youngins make a whole lot of noise in the house and dad has to say, all right, that's a whole bunch more noise than's needed. And maybe there needs to be that reverential awe that is, you know, and that last week when we said, my God is bad. I mean, it needs to have that kind of awe of His majesty, of what He can do. And maybe there is that, there's a balance between the two of, he is awesome. At the same time, He's called me His child. And so therefore, there's that balance between, I think you hit it with, all right, yeah, my dad, I respected him, and man, I feared him. And there is a good fear, mm-hmm. and there's a healthy fear of God versus a scared to death, run away from fear.
Well, and when I've going to God in prayer before was always just kind of something that it was, and I don't think, like when I said I don't feel bad about it, I think that's part of where my closeness with God comes from, is I feel comfortable going to Him like that, and I don't have to carve out 15 minutes to get on my knees every time and do everything by this ritualistic kind of thing.
No.
But at the same time, I think as I get a little older maybe, and maybe a little bit more mature, I look at it and say, you deserve a little more than that, though, I think, and I need to be, and that trying to find more of that reverence, I think it brings me closer to God in my experience. But I will say, I don't think that by me saying this, I'm saying to everybody who listens or everybody that I come across, you need to go to God with more reverence.
Right.
I think that's just a personal, to me, it's probably, you may be going, it's what do you, where do you feel that balance is?
Well, I think again, let's remember, if you start with, if we take the model I was kind of proposing at the beginning, if you start with that worship and you see who He is, I think that kind of engenders a little bit of that that reverence. And again, doesn't mean that I'm, oh man, I got to go in and I got to know all the right words and say all the right words and it's got to be that. But there is going to be, the more you go before God in worship and see who He is, I think that's why, again, Bible study is so key to our walk, because you really get to know His heart. You get to know what He's like. You get to realize, man, this is the one who rescued Daniel from the lion's den, and this is the one who saved Peter and rescued him out of prison. I mean, that you begin to see all that He can do and all that He is. Yeah, there's going to be that. And at the same time, I think the Psalms, when you read the book of Psalm and you go through whatever Psalm it is, if you find a prayer of David's, man, jump on that thing. Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you, you're going to see highs and lows. You're going to see someone that's just like us. And I think that's what I love about David. He is a man after God's own heart. But man, you see him. man, I'm struggling, God. When will you rescue me? When are you going to listen to me? What's going on? But then you see him turn and say, oh, but I will trust in him.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think, that whole wrestling that you see there in several of the Psalms is David getting to what we're talking about is, all right, am I going to depend on and am I willing to trust that what he's telling me is 100% gospel? I can count on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't know, when I was younger and I would maybe have less reverence. And I think my reason was, well, I'm like you said, God knows who we are. We can be ourselves. That's true. I think where I kind of maybe lean back the other way on it a little bit is that, yeah, he knows who I am. But at the same time, I adapt my conversations to the people that I'm talking to in regular life. And honestly, I'll even adapt my conversations with one person from one conversation to the next. Sure. I might show God more reverence in one prayer than I might in another one. And take more time to use bigger words and be more. But I don't think I don't think that's really what he's grading us on, is the words we use and all that stuff.
Heavens no. In fact, I'll go ahead and let you know. That's what he said when in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, several places in Matthew. He tells the Pharisees, and he tells us, I'm not impressed with your big words. I'm not impressed with using vain repetition, the same words over and over again. You're not going to impress God with your vocabulary. What God is impressed with is the heart.
Yeah.
And I think that is the key to all prayer, is a heart that is wanting to seek him, and a heart that is saying, you know, again, going back to that dad, seeing him as, Dad, I need help. Dad, I need you. Dad, I love you, Dad. And rather than holy art thou, and, you know, and I think there's that humility that comes into our prayers. That would be, I believe, Luke 13, if my memory serves me right, or it might be Luke 18. I think it's Luke 13, though, that Jesus used a parable of two men who go into the temple to pray, and one comes in and he says, God, you ought to be happy I'm on your team. I do everything right. I tithe. I give. I'm not like that sinner over there. Mm-hmm. Well, then he goes to the prayer of the sinner, and he can't even look up, and he's basically beating himself on the chest, and he realizes, I don't even deserve to be in the temple, God, because I'm a sinner. And then Jesus asked the question. He says, so which one went away justified? Which one got heard? Which one's right with God? And of course, it's not that one who went in all haughty and thinking he knows everything. Give me a break. And so it's the one who recognizes, Lord, I desperately need you. So there's a lot to be said for humility. Again, I think these terms that we keep, humility, dependence, surrender, these are all the keys to a good prayer life. But you're right. It always comes back to, what's the heart behind it? Not the words that express it. What's the heart behind it? Because some of my best prayers have been, I'll be honest with you, have not been words. They've just been a heart that just gets before the Lord and maybe just sits there, cries, just, I don't even know what to say, but Lord, you know, I'm speechless at the moment because I'm in shock. I'm hurt. And just getting before him and just saying, Lord, I don't even know what to say, but here I am in front of you. And that's some of the best places to be.
And some of those moments are the ones that I felt the most peace and from him. And I think that's when you go to like Philippians 4:6-7 that I was just we've been talking about it. And I'm going to paraphrase it it's a fairly short verse, and I'm just going to paraphrase it from how I remember it from the translation that I read. But basically, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was interesting to me. We talked. I was in my text yesterday to you. I said, you know, when I was in college, I really liked Matthew 6:25-34 was kind of my favorite verse. Don't worry about anything. Each day has enough worry about its own. Now, to be totally fair, I was 21 years old, and to me, that kind of felt like a quote from a comedian that said, I didn't get where I am today by worrying about how it'll feel tomorrow.
Right.
So it wasn't the best reason probably for liking that verse. And also at 20-21, you don't have as much to worry about.
Right. Right.
So don't worry is a little bit easier.
Right.
At 30-31, when I read Philippians 4:6-7, and that one really kind of hit me, there was more to worry about.
Right.
And there was a lot more going on, and don't worry about anything. Well, that's easy. Don't worry about anything. I got a lot on my mind. But he continues in the next part to say instead, right. And that's you do that in church. If you wouldn't do this, we'd get out sooner. But you'll stop halfway and say, why is this one word there? And we'll spend 10 minutes on that
this?
One word.
Yeah.
But in that case, it's a good reason for it, because it's that instead is the key thing that makes me keep reading. Tell me what to do instead. Pray about everything. And it's not just pray. Pray about what? Everything.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
So that became something I was like, well, I take it literally. I just pray throughout the day about everything I can think of, any little thing. If anybody ever, and I, do you think it matters? I don't think we're keeping score or keeping count anyway, right. But if X amount of hours is spent in prayer a day, do you think it matters if it's in 25 increments of 2 minutes or one long hour? Does it matter? Or?
No. And again, goes back to, remember, the words, God's not interested in the right words or the fancy words. I don't know that God is sitting there saying, you better put in 15 today. Or, you know, it's not like we're training for something and I got to put in 15, you know, reps, or I got to put in this. I don't think God's doing that. Again, let's go back to the heart, because Nehemiah, as I said, before he went for the king, Lord, help me before this man. Okay, that's about as short as it can be. And so I think it really, rather than being got to spend a certain amount of time, or it's got to be this, and this, I don't want to be, I think the best way to put it is, I don't be so ritualistic in my praying and in my Bible study that I miss that it's a relationship.
Yeah.
And so, look, sometimes during the day when, man, I'm running here, running there, got to go to this meeting, got to go to that. Oh, man, they need me. Something just happened. I'll pick up the phone, text from my wife. Hey, love you. Might be late tonight. Just thinking of you. How's your day going? I ain't got time to sit there and talk about, what are we doing for dinner next weekend and how about this? Sometimes it's just a quick, just touch bases, and you know what? To me, those little I love yous or, hey, thinking of you, they go just as far as, you know, by the way, are we having bologna sandwiches tonight, or is it going to be turkey sandwich, or is it going to be whatever we're eating?
Yeah.
So don't necessarily tie your prayer life to it's got to be this way, it's got to be a certain amount of time. I think the key is, it's not time. You spell love by time. I get that. I think the main thing is, it's almost like a Nike commercial. You just do it.
Yeah.
You know, rather than it's got to be X and Y and Z, don't put constraints on that.
Yeah.
Because I used to hear, man, I used to have mentors say, oh, yeah, I prayed for, you know, I've been praying for hours, and I'm sitting there as a young man thinking, hey, man, hours? What do you do for an hour? I'll try for 5 minutes. And I'm about to say everything I got. And again, I was learning that, okay, I'm not the most important one talking. I need to be listening. But also, again, as you grow in your relationship, you know, I think it does. You know, it may not be that you even have to mouth words. A lot of times in my mind, it's just, especially, look, I'll be driving down the road. That windshield time, some of the best time praying. And, you know, just riding, and Lord, just thinking about, praying about what's going on at the church, or maybe there's somebody that's struggling. Yeah, just going in. And so, but I think the key is, as we get back to Philippians 4, is pray about everything. That means there's nothing too big, too small, as we said.
Mm-hmm.
And take those things to Him and leave them there.
I think one of the things that seems to be a little bit of a theme that I hope we're trying to do on the show is being practical about faith and not just, and how do we put it in practice? And here's an example of that of me. So if you ever get a text from me that says I'm praying for you, a situation my mama's in the hospital, grandma's sick, whatever, I'll pray for your family. If I ever send that text, if you've received one of those texts from me in the last couple of years, I want you to know something. I probably said a prayer within 5 seconds of that.
Right.
Because I'm ADD. If I don't do it I won't do it.
Same way.
And there's nothing in the world that feels worse than me than telling somebody I'll pray for them and then I forget. That feels terrible.
That's right.
So, if something like that happens, it may not be a long prayer. I may not have much time, but please God be with them, give them peace, whatever is much, you know, whatever needs to be said in that moment, say it and get on. And hopefully maybe later on I'll have time to elaborate some more and come back to it and say it again. But I want to get it checked off, make sure I got it. But see, to me, that's part of what fills up that 167, makes it consistent. It's an even flow throughout the day. But that was a good point. It raised my eyebrow a little bit when you were talking about the example you're using with your wife and shooting a quick text that says it might be running a little bit late. Back to what we said last week about guilt. That makes me feel bad that, okay, what, is this thing more important than God that I can't take more time to talk to Him today? Mm-hmm. And that's something that we might keep score more than God does. He probably does understand that, you know, but I'm sure he understands it. But but we, you know, sometimes it does feel like I'm keeping score a little bit. But I've noticed the more I do it throughout the day, like I said last week, the more I focus on the other 167 hours, the easier it is. The more I pray throughout the day, the less bad I feel if that nighttime prayer is not very long. Right. I mean, I told Mama the other day, and if I said this already on the show, I can't remember what I said on the show and what I said when we were talking, but I told Mama the other day, if I'm doing it right, my nighttime prayers, love you, God, amen. That's I've right. already said everything else.
Well, and I think it's one of, I used to beat myself up over the nighttime, because look, man, I'm dog tired, man. I'm going to bed. I'm trying to stay awake, and I'm laying down in my bed, and it's nice and warm, and that pillow just feels so good. Next thing you know, it's, Lord, I think, and then I'm out. And I used to be, Lord, I am so sorry for doing that. But, you know, I had a good friend of mine who helped me through that, because I told him, I said, man, I just feel so bad. And this is what he said, and I love this. He said, man, if you're walking with the Lord day in and day out, it kind of backs you up of what you're saying. When you walk in with the Lord throughout the day, what better way to go to sleep than we were together, or we were there, we were, and it, you know, again, it goes back to, I don't think God deducts and says, man, look at that slacker.
Asleep.
Now, granted, you could say during, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he comes back and he finds his disciples asleep, he kind of gives them a little bit of a what for, and couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Well, I think that might be a little bit different when you are about to go through probably the biggest trial of your life. Yeah, that might be a little bit different, that you might be, you know, you might want to fight off sleep or get up and walk around, whatever you have to do. And I think that's the other thing is, man, don't make it about, it's got to be certain words. Don't make it about, it's got to be a certain length. Don't make it's got to be in a certain place. God's people have prayed in fields. They have prayed right before going into a king's palace. They have prayed, you name it. There's been all kinds of different prayers. And I think it's one of, when you're driving down the road, when you are wherever you are, hey, man, it's okay. You can talk to the Lord.
So I've debated probably if I was actually going to ask this or not. If we don't like me asking, I'll let it out.
There you go.
You've teed me up a couple of times that I could have taken a swing at it and I didn't.
Right.
You keep saying God doesn't care about the words we use.
Yeah, yeah.
What if we slip up and say some of them words we weren't supposed to say in the first place? or what if we did it on purpose?
Right.
Maybe they're two different things. I don't know if there's
now,
a difference between
the two. Is this in our prayer
two.
Or just in our just general talking?
So I thought about this week a little bit.
What you thinking about?
So I've thought about that a little bit this week, and I've kind of realized that the two aren't that far apart, probably.
Okay.
And I'll give you my answer to it for whatever it's worth, because I have thought about it. And then mine is not the one that matters. Yours isn't either, but it's better than mine. There's a mine. I don't think you'll be surprised that I might have done that before. Okay. But here's my take on it. When I was younger, much different approach to a lot of that stuff, and it was probably, I might have even thought it was funny. It's like, well, he knows it anyway, why don't I say it? As I get a little older again, more reverence, and I start to think about it, it's like, you know what, again, I don't say some of this stuff in front of Mom and Dad. Sometimes I do, but maybe I shouldn't say it as much. But I'll also say, the more I'm just praying throughout my day, it's a little bit more likely to slip in. I'm not going to do it in church.
Right.
I'm not worried about my language in this building, right? I had a 15-minute drive to get my head right. I knew I was walking in here, and I don't think you'd really strike me down, but I don't want to take a chance on it. I'm in the building. Let's not burn it down. We're already trying to fix the sanctuary.
Need more roofs to fix.
But when I'm just taking a walk and, you know, my phone drops in the parking lot or something, you might whatever. Mm. Well, in that case, sorry, I messed up. But I probably shouldn't be consciously trying to do that. But you know what? I'm guessing that I'm not the only one that's ever done it.
No.
And I think here was my takeaway from it as I thought about it a little bit. It's like, all right, well, conveniently enough, the more I pray, most likely the less I'm going to cuss.
Right.
The less I cuss, the less cussing is a habit, which is going to make it less likely that it's going to filter into my prayers.
Right.
If I slip one up, does God count it worse than if I didn't and I wasn't talking to him? My suspicion is not, but I don't know that for sure.
I'm not sure how exactly he keeps score, but I think it always goes back to, you know, a couple of things. Man, there's a lot to unpack there, bro. First is, you know, it's
from, this is not what you signed up for. Yeah, you didn't know we're going
It's from the heart that the mouth speaks, right?
Right.
And look, there are going to be times when I remember we were building a wheelchair ramp, and man, I smashed my finger with the hammer. And every one of those men, I had some deacons, I had other men, they were looking to say, oh, here he goes. I can't wait to see a preacher cuss. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, in my mind, I was. And I was biting my tongue because, man, I wanted to. So that hurt. That hurt. Getting hit by a chainsaw. Man, I can just go ahead and let you know. I was asked, and I said, yeah, I'll go ahead and let you know. I did sling a cuss word, and I did sling it at my brother because it was like, you idiot. And I didn't say anything that nice. But it is one of, we you know, and I try my best. We all do. We don't want to do that. But I think it's one, too, of you hit it, though, when you said, the more that I'm closer to the Lord. Now, I think that therein, remember that comparison. He is so big, I'm not. He is so holy, I'm not. But the more that you spend time with, and I think this is one of the key parts of our relationship is, you know what I've noticed is the more the time that you, whoever you spend time with, you begin to kind of act like them. You know, and you'll see this in your children a lot, and I see it in my children, but I also see it in my own life, man. If you're running, I'll never forget. I used to go camping with a couple of families, and I remember one time one of the guys said, "Man, I just love." It was a bunch of Christian families that just got together, and we'd go camping, and he said, "I love being here because, man, I know it's just going to be a good time." He says, "You guys encourage me to walk, you know, that I, as he said, I don't even have to worry about what I'm going to say and do because I know being around y'all, it just pulls me closer to the Lord." And I think the more that you spend time with the Lord, the more that less and less those things will be in your life. And I think it all goes back to one, another thing to think about is, you know, when the Lord's in your life and as he's made you a new creation, he's given you a brand new DNA. The things that you used to like or the things that you maybe used to couldn't put down or had to have, he changes you. And so he changes our heart to where, all right, man, those that colorful language might not be in there as much or it might not be eventually, probably might not be there as much at all.
Well, and you said earlier, you said a couple of things between both shows that kind of play into this. I mean, you said earlier today, though, that when you're praying, sometimes God may bring up some sins to you that you didn't think were that big of a deal and weren't that, right, you know, weren't that high on your list. I would say if I thought of this analogy, I would say whatever rating I am in real life, I'm usually up a rating when I'm talking to God. So if I'm PG-13 in real life, I probably PG in my prayers. And that's probably where I'm at. I'm probably PG-13 in real life, and I'm probably PG in my prayers, and I'm G here because it's in the bill. I had 15 minutes to prepare, get my head right. But I think that I am starting. I never have really felt like bad language was the. And I know you've said before, I think God doesn't rank sin. I kind of do, apparently, right. I've always thought that's not that big a one. But there was something back to what I said about the book Relentless last week. They gave a story or an example that Michael Jordan was doing a lot of bicep curls when everybody else thought bicep curls were useless. And he said, yeah, it was mostly useless, but we were going for that extra tenth of a percent, and the intimidation factor was worth that. So I was thinking about that as an analogy this week. My language, okay, the words that come out of my mouth, especially if I'm by myself and nobody hears them, what difference does that make? It's cosmetic, maybe, but every detail matters to God. Everything that we do matters to him. So I think here lately, you said sometimes he'll put stuff in your heart that you didn't think was important.
Right.
Now, if you talk to me earlier today and you talk to me tomorrow, you might not notice this trend, but that's become something he's kind of gotten on my butt about here lately.
Right.
You sort of need to watch your mouth a little bit if you wanted to represent me that way. And I mean, and I thought, well, maybe I do. And that's not the only little sin. He comes after a lot of those little ones if you talk to him.
Well, and I think it's one of, we all want our children. I want my children to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and using the book Relentless, using anything that you do as an athlete, every detail counts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Lord looks at our life, too. And again, I don't want us to beat ourselves up so bad, but I think we do need to look at every detail. But it's funny you say this, and I didn't know we'd get on this trail, but
I probably
this,
didn't either,
this
to be
Sunday
fair.
We're going to be we're in First Peter. We've been going through First Peter, and we've been talking about various roles with the government, with our employer, when we suffer, and then in our homes. But then this week we're going to be on verses 8-12. But Peter's going to quote Psalm 34, and he says, "For the one who desires life," now listen to this, "the one who desires life to love and see good days. In other words, man, if you want to live the real life, the good life, it's not a camping commercial or a, I don't know, there was a company that had the good life. I have to go and look it up if I'm going to use it on Sunday. But everybody wants the good life. Well, he tells us, to the one who desires life, to love and see good days. Now listen, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So yeah, God takes our speech serious. And I think it's one of understanding that, okay, Lord, we're all growing in this thing, you know, and I think that's the key is okay, am I maturing? Am I becoming more like Christ in my speech? Because man, you start going to Ephesians 4 and you start looking at verses 29 when it says, let no unwholesome word flow from your mouth except that which is good for building people up. And I was in my office a little while ago, and I was just before the Lord saying, well, Lord, you know, how much am I building people up? Or is it easier to tear people down? I mean, goodness, you get a room full of guys, we're going to crack on each other. I'll have four nicknames before the day is over. You will too, and it'll be who knows what we'll call each other, because that's the way we are. But at the same time, and I understand that, that's a little bit of the banter, but man, I really won't. And that's something the Lord was showing me is being as a pastor, but more importantly, as a father and as a husband and as a Christian man, then your speech should be something that lifts people up. And so, yeah, what are you going to use your speech for is a lot like, well, what are you going to live for?
Well, I said earlier it was maybe cosmetic, and I don't think that's the right word to use, and I've got to, maybe that's where I'm going with that. The Lord might know in your heart, but everybody else doesn't.
Right.
And to some people, your words are the only tool they have to see what's really in your heart. And if that's what you're trying to show, if you're wanting other people to see God in your heart, you kind of got to use the right words for them to see that. They don't have that advantage of knowing what you really mean.
And it doesn't have to be the flowery religious language. Yeah. You know, thee, thou art. I have always found the most inviting people to me as far as a relationship with Christ are those who just live life normally and love the Lord, and it just shows. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no put on. There's no pretense. There's no, oh, I got to, you know, act straight because so-and-so's coming or what. No, it's just being real. And I think that's really what the whole gist of Christianity is being real and being who you are in Christ.
Being real and who you are in Christ, but also if as a part of that, if you are and being with Christ, then you're going to always be trying to get better, not because it's the rules and not because you've got to chase that standard, but because you want to. That's what you want to do.
I think that's a good illustration of that, man. I had some older brothers. I had some folks that I hung around when I, you know, to me, my older brothers were pretty cool when I was young. Now I realize they're not as cool as I am. But at the same time, they had some cool friends. And, oh, man, I always wanted to be like those guys because they were so cool. They were this, that, and the other, and they were older than me. Well, goodness gracious, I think that's where the reading of the Gospels comes in. And when you see the genuineness and the tenderness and the compassion, and you see what Christ was like, that's who I aspire to be like. Now, do I always do it? Nah, man, I fail miserably. But, man, that's when I see how he acts and reacts and carries himself, man, that's you know, you always become what you admire, so to speak, sometimes. I mean, you know, we always want to become you're going to become what you like, what you admire, what you, you know, what you esteem as, oh, man, that's something I desire to be.
What you said earlier is a good analogy or a good example of that, too. You are what you do tend to blend into your surroundings. And I joked about, you know, you bring out the redneck in me, right? Well, when you get two people around each other that are kind of, that have those, you start to act like each other. Yeah. You say, I bring out the redneck in you. I don't know.
No,
but the point is,
it's there all the time.
mine is too, until I got to get on a work call.
Tuck it in.
Yeah. But when you do blend into your surroundings a little bit, and part of that is surrounding yourself with you were talking about how do we communicate with God. Yeah, we do it through prayer. Yeah, we also do it through the church, though, and the people that we talk to in that.
Sure.
But you just take this sequence of events, right? If I seek God more often, then I'm going to start to seek out people that are like him more often. Maybe around people that are in that same thing more often. The more you surround with that, you start to blend into it. We tend to take on the habits of the society around us in whatever form that is, whether it's as small as the household or as big as the country to an extent. You tend to kind of go with the masses in a way. So we understand then that's usually a bad thing. You know, right. You usually develop bad habits from blending into our surroundings. But if you can put yourself in the right surroundings, blending into it becomes a really good thing. And that human instinct to naturally follow what everybody else is doing becomes a good thing.
Right.
When you're all working towards the same thing.
When you're surrounded by the right things.
Right.
Is that right?
And I've experienced a lot of that, I think, lately, just in talking about God more. And it just becomes something that I joked about. I didn't mean to give the whole 167.
Right.
I meant to sleep a little bit. But the more you do it, the more it just fills up your day with you just... It's, you have more reasons to pray.
Right.
You have more reasons to talk to people about God. You have more reason to read the Bible. You just, you have more reasons.
And he gives you more opportunity to talk about him.
Yeah. You do. Yeah, there you go.
And I think it's one of those that, I like to use this illustration. It's one of, I think you to begin to develop those eyes for it.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to notice, oh, there's an opportunity to talk about him. And there's somebody that loves the Lord. And now that kindred spirit, now we can sit there and talk. And I use this illustration quite a bit. I remember when the new Mustangs came out, not these EV, I'm talking about when they came out maybe 15, 20 years ago and they were sharp. And my father-in-law said, hey, have you seen the new Mustangs? No, I haven't. And he said, dude, you got to see them. They're gorgeous. And he began to talk about them. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to see them. And so I'm looking. I'm riding down the road. That's the new Mustang. And you see it. Then all of a sudden you realize you see it all the time because you're looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing is, and maybe that's where all this is coming to what we talked about. It's when you seek the Lord, you begin to realize, oh, he's in various places.
Yeah.
And he might be in that conversation with, you know, that friend. It might be in the Word of God. It might be, and you begin to see his fingerprints, and you begin to see him leading and guiding, and that's where you got to have the eyes to look for it.
So this is where the rubber meets the road, right? Like what you just said, that's where it all comes together, and where the rubber meets the road. We're all taking something on faith, right? Atheists are taking something on faith.
That's right.
They don't know either. Nobody
knows.
It takes
more faith to be that than.
I agree, but when you do seek God. Mm-hmm. Matthew 7, seek and you shall find.
Right, right.
Well, that's a simple enough verse, but I tell you what, it's pretty doggone true. Because sometimes you seek and he'll flood you with more than you even bargained for. But that's where you find the realness in God. That's the part where you start to see that God's... I will take my argument to any atheist, any agnostic, anywhere in the world, because mine seems way more scientifically and mathematically likely based on my empirical evidence than theirs.
Right.
Okay? And
sure.
But what we're talking about right now is where that comes from.
Right.
I don't have any doubt God's real. He bugs the crap out of me sometimes.
Yeah,
I have no doubt he's real.
And I think that always goes back to your personal testimony. It trumps anything else you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, I may not be able to explain all the ins and outs of science. I may not be able to explain but I know what he's done in my life, and it's real. And I know how he's changed me, and I know how the difference is made. And that's, to me, is probably one of the greatest evidences. When you look at the disciples, man, you had a bunch of scaredy cats that were locked in an upper room, to where they go from that to Acts 2 with the Holy Spirit coming upon them, and they are preaching in the streets. Thousands are getting saved. The law basically cracks down on them and says, you can't preach in this name no more. And they say, who are you? We're going to preach and we got to do what God said. I mean, that's a changed life. Something happened that make them from scaredy cat to, man, they are bold as they can be. And the only thing I can explain is it was Christ.
Yeah.
In the Holy Spirit, of course, that it was a personal relationship with God through Christ and what he did at the cross with the Holy Spirit living inside of him. So there you are.
And I have in stages, I think, started to see all three of them come together myself with it, because it's, you know, prayer is a part of it. But yeah, when you start to really get flooded with it from every angle, from everything, from just talking to people about God, from praying all the time, and truly hearing from God and all these things, you can't doubt its realness. It's as real as anything in the world to me, and it's just as simple as seeking. But that's what we wanted to spend this show talking about. How do we seek then? Because that's if you can't, if you don't know what you're looking for, you can't really. You know, if you don't know how to look for it, it's not just. It's how does God want us to seek him? Was what it was kind of about.
And look, I think that might even be. Hey, that's a good prayer to pray. Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us hearts to understand and comprehend. Give us hearts to love. Give us ears to hear. And give us hands and feet that are ready to be the hands and feet of Christ. And when that's prayed as a genuine, Lord, here I am, I can assure you, You'll have eyes to see. You'll have ears to hear. You'll have hearts to love and hands and feet that are ready to go. Because that's kind of the whole thing of when you seek me, you find me. And when you seek me with your whole heart, yeah, you will find him.
I think I'm too complicated for even that. I have to even oversimplify things. I'm trying to simplify things more lately, probably because I'm so complicated. I have to do that. But yeah, we make it with me, my prayer to God is not even quite that many instructions or requests. If I'm going into a situation I know is probably going to be tough, and right. It's not even always that one. Sometimes it can be, I said this on the way over here, I guess. But I've said to God before, just, please help me to see this situation through your eyes.
Yeah,
that's how I just want, help me to see, feel, think, whatever. Great, how you want me to see the situation.
Great way.
Just hit me with that.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, if I've broken that prayer out, it's usually a bad situation.
Yeah.
But I will say, it's been delivered every time. It's the fun. It can be the hardest thing. I think about when my grandpa died. That was one of the hardest things in my life. And I remember standing in a hospital room thinking, there's no way I can get through this. I can't do this. I can't do it. But then you've blinked your eyes and it's over and it was fine. Okay, well, that was one of those times you probably say that prayer. Just help me get through this from, you know, through your eyes.
Right.
And it you still go through the experience. It's still hard. But that's Philippians, my favorite part of Philippians 6:7 is if you do this, he will give you peace, which is greater than anything else you could ever have.
That's right.
So praying for, if I pray for God's peace, that's an easy one for me. That if I really don't know what to say, I usually just say, please give him peace, or please give me peace.
Yeah.
That's a simple one. But that's the, even if you don't get what you want, right? You might pray for God to save your grandpa or save this situation. That may not be what happens, but he'll give you the peace to get through it. And that's, you get an answer.
Yeah. The way that verse ends with the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That guard is basically two Roman soldiers that, imagine that. Paul's writing this. He's got them chained to him. That he's surrounded by these guys. He knows, all right, I ain't getting out of here. All right. That is really what's happening there. Your mind and your heart are guarded by God. And that peace is going to be there. And I think the other thing, too, is don't stop at verse 7. Continue on with 8, 9, and 10, which is, okay, now set your mind on whatever is so pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is of good report. Think on these things. And in those tragic times, those hard times, oftentimes it is, Lord, help me to see it through your eyes, but also, Lord, somehow, some way, use this. If it's to help me to grow, if it's to help someone out there come to Christ. That's really what we you know, those, don't waste this hurt, Lord. Let's use it for your glory somehow, some way. And again, I think it all boils down to that that five-letter word, trust. I did it right. I was sitting there thinking, I hope it's not six, it's trust. The way I say it, it might sound like six, but trust, it's all about trust. And even when it says, submit your prayers with thanksgiving, that's about trust.
Yeah.
I can trust that everything you've done, I can be thankful because you've proven yourself over and over again how you've provided. So, yeah, that's really, if you stop and think about it, Philippians 4, 6 through 8, and shoot, let's go ahead and jump on up and let's take 4 and let's go to verse 9 because 4 is rejoice evermore. Yeah. Having a joy, doesn't mean I'm happy all the time, but I'm having a joy knowing who Christ is in my life, that no matter what the circumstance is, I can still have a joy and a hope and a peace. And those three things are worth having.
Yeah. Well, last week I said, well, yeah, let's pick up next week in Hebrews 12, and then I completely hijacked us another direction. I'd love to pick up there next week
if we don't get hijacked first.
Yeah,
wherever we go, man. But I think that's the beauty of the discussion. And I think you had some folks who said, talk about this. We'll eventually try to, I guess. I don't know. Wherever God leads, we'll go.
Well, there's a couple of easy things. So when I shot this last week, I didn't know these things. Now that I published it, I know that, hey, there's a Q&A feature on this thing.
No.
So you can just submit your questions. What do you want to talk about?
There you go. How about that?
All right, that makes it easier for us and we don't have to brainstorm as much. And y'all probably don't want us just showing up and shooting from the hip every Tuesday.
But who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
But there is a Q&A in there, so you can, anybody who does have suggestions, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah.
And I also put Pastor Ben's email address in there. I don't even know if I told you that.
Oh, yeah,
I wanted to give people a way to reach out to us if
they
want
to. Questions or if I can help them. Hopefully I can. Be kind.
Well, On this week's show, we learned that Spotify also has a built-in preacher filter that automatically ends recording after 59 minutes and 59 seconds. Who knew? So we'll try to talk faster next week, but I want to thank Ben one more time for joining me on this thing. We're having a lot of fun, or at least I am, and he says he is. So we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us, and we really hope you enjoyed it. As I was trying to say before, I'll leave some links in the description so that you can reach out to Ben or anyone else at Fuquay Arena Baptist Church if you'd like. We just really want to thank you again for listening.